Blog Talk Radio.
I was having challenges with my old bank. Lots of red flags. Yellow ones too. Fees, penalties,
unnecessary fees.
Playing dirty. So I broke up with bad banking and moved on with SoFi Checking and Savings. Now I get up to 2.0% APY on all my money and pay no account fees. Feels good to get my money right.
Bankers disqualified.
Break up with bad banking. Get 2.00% interest and earn up to $300 when you set up direct deposit. SoFi, get your money right.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Hold up.
Yeah, I got a God, don't change with the season. Yeah, 10,000 reasons I can believe in. God told me to say that I'm breathing. A, that's the law, new sheriff in it, ooh, KBR, passing bars, I'm a lawyer in the pool, I ain't never seen nobody do it like this, almost every inch and a ruler like this, look at my world, that's a little like drip, only go to my list, I'm like, who did I miss, let it breathe, ooh, cool. Let it breathe, yeah, peace, peace, Jesus, that's my creed, ooh, Michael B, yeah, he bossing, don't be a clown, but you're not it, worship in a marsh pit, I'm in this palm like the tropics, and women get in it, they get it, then they live again. Good and generous, definitive, that's from the Genesis. Unlimited, inhibited, look at all of these witnesses. Give you the business, the second body, homie, he finished it. I got a God, don't change with the season. Can't you see I'm on a roll? Been doing this since 16. Yeah. Rapping on the corner of the streets. Yeah. Christ is God, I lost my father, but I never knew my peace. Yeah. Yeah. I think he king, reigning supreme. Ooh, winning with ease. Ooh, you think it's sweet. Yeah, I believe way crazier thing. Cool, I see that he coming back. He said it, then I react. I got this thing in the bag. You go and laugh, I will be doing it last. Fresh is back. I got a God, don't change with the season.
Worship in the mosh pit, you know what I'm saying? H-E-A-K to the second letter.
This is a product of WBNN, and this is Trenton Makes Show. I'm your host, Ricardo Rashad, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dialing 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Listen, you guys, I am so excited. Today is the second day of the new year, and I feel amazing. And to be able to do this, I'm going into, I believe, my second year, or I don't know if the second year counts to March because I still was interning in January, but either way, I've been here almost 2 years, and I'm really, really so excited. I'm so grateful. Just being able to come on the radio and have my own radio show and get the opportunity to do this once a month is a truly a blessing, and I don't take for granted. I just wanted to act. You get what I mean? I never knew in a million years that one thing had led to the next thing. Like, I had no idea that me wanting to act would lead to me eventually doing radio once a month. And then, you know, this is going to lead to so many other amazing things later on. So one thing leads to the next thing. I did want to say, for anybody that's following me on social media, I had dropped my movie poster today. And it's Hurt People, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken. It's the movie. And I'm so excited that after all of these years, I finally get a chance to star in my first movie. I wrote the series. I directed the series. I produced the series. I acted in the series. And I funded the series all by myself. Well, without the grace of God, of course, God giving me the resources. So I can't take all the credit. It was definitely God. And I will also say that all of my cast members, everybody that came through to be a part of the show, like, y'all don't understand, like, the feeling that I felt today, just so much love. I'm fasting a little bit from social media. So I was getting people inboxing me, what's the prices of the tickets? And, you know, so it was just like, wow, it's happening, you know? So it's such a good feeling because I really want my series, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, to heal a nation. I want people to really understand, like I always say, that we've all dealt with some type of hurt in our lives. But the thing with our trauma is not for us to stay stuck in it, you know, because a lot of times our hurts and our traumas, it's almost like the metaphor or the analogy I would use, it's like being stuck in quicksand. You get what I mean? And we're sinking. So what we want to do is focus on God, and we want to ask for help, you know, when we need it, and we want to heal because eventually it gets greater later. You know, I was reading Job a couple of weeks ago, and for a while I was reading the book of Job, and he was going through a lot. But in the end, it says that God said his latter days will be better. And that gave me so much hope because I know my listeners that have been following me for 2 years, I suffered a lot of great loss. And through it all, I still love God. I still love Christ. And I still think that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. And every day, you guys, I still make mistakes. And every day, sometimes I don't feel good enough because I'm not good enough. It's only by his grace and his mercy. And I get up every day and I pray and I ask God to give me strength. And I realize that it's not my strength and that he gives it to me. And even though sometimes life gets hard, sometimes I want to give up. And when I say give up, I don't mean on life. I mean, sometimes I want to give up or, you know, work or just, you know, sometimes you get tired of family or friends, but I push through. I had on my last call before I had my great guest come on, my last show at the end of the year, I talked about deciding to step down as a teacher. But the truth be told, you guys, because I wanted to follow up, they wouldn't let me step down. Sometimes people believe in you more than you believe in your own self. And I wanted to give up and not give up completely. I still was going to teach, but they wouldn't let me give up. And sometimes you need people to, you know, push you, you know, and allow you to see your greatness. And sometimes I could be my own worst enemy because of my anxiety or my fear of the unknown. And in those situations, I have to really trust God, and I got to be who I say I am and not just a man that says all these great things on the radio or on my lives, but actually live that. So I'm working on that every day. So I'm still a teacher. Even though I wanted to quit every day, I truly believe God has called me to teach, as well as other things, as well as be a filmmaker, as well as do radio, as well as inspire. And I don't always know why he chose me, but as I look at so many great men like Moses and David and all of these other men like Abraham, who may have felt like God chose somebody else, I feel the same way, even though I can't even compare to those great men, but I feel like God sometimes picks somebody else. But I realized, like in the book of Jeremiah, God had chose me even before my mother and father even knew each other. And I have to know that I have to trust in him even when I don't understand. So anybody out there that feels overwhelmed, that feels like giving up, that feels like nobody understands them, that feel broken, that feel rejected, just know that you can tap in to God, because God is there even when we don't feel like he's there. I feel like it's time for me to step in my true calling, and I believe one of my callings is, I believe I'm a healer. And I don't know if, when I say I'm a healer, I don't necessarily saying that I could go and heal somebody from the dead or anything, but what I'm saying is I believe that my writing, I believe that my storytelling, the books that I'm going to write, I believe that my radio shows, I believe my lives, I believe people are going to listen to my stuff, and I believe healing is going to take place. Even if it doesn't mean it's automatically, I believe a seed is going to be planted. Somebody else to come water that seed and then God to, you know, bring the increase. But I believe that God is going to truly give me revelation this year about what I'm doing and who I am. So I'm excited. And it's not because, like I said, I'm this great person. I'm nobody. I'm a nobody that want to be used by God. So I want to just stay focused and just keep focused on God. So again, everybody out there, make sure y'all tune in to watch season one and season two of Hurt People, Bitter and Broken. And yes, it's amazing. So we're going to do a track and then we'll have our guests come on. All right. So track next by the Mix Master, your mother's and father's favorite DJ legend, Brother O.
Yeah, danger, giants, battle is my story. But alone, I won't know, that's my glory. Shadows who cannot hide me, my king will fight. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Since death died, wanted by a landslide. Hallelujah to the flex, my. That power made a point. Next slide. Yeah. Repping this side. Shoes ain't Gucci, I just keep my foot on reptiles. Yeah, coming for my neck now. When the game about to end, you expect fouls. Oh vanity, Satan try to cancel me. I don't feel your plan for me. I just made a canopy. When you come to handle me, there's another hand on me. Even when they all abandon me, I got the destiny. I see no enemy. Yeah. Gotta. Still in the sun when it
right, you guys, and we are back. So, sorry for the long introduction, you guys, but I just wanted to let y'all know, you know, what I was feeling. But before I go to my guest, on every show, you know, I like to definitely let everybody know that my foundation, who I am and what I believe in, is Jesus Christ. So every show, I like to give the opportunity to let people know who Jesus is, and anybody listening, salvation is available to you. I believe that God has a purpose for each and every one of us, and I believe that God doesn't want anybody to perish. But at the end of the day, the beginning of the day, in the middle of the day, it's up to us. I want to let you know that God loves you so, so much. God knows what we're going through. But God is not, God is a perfect gentleman. So I just want to let y'all know that it's hope available through Jesus Christ. And I personally, again, my Facebook is Ricardo Richard. So if anybody listening, if you ever need prayer, you can inbox me. Listen, I'll call you. I'll FaceTime with you. I'm here to help in any way I can. All right, you guys. So I came to introduce the lovely, the talented Aunt Paula. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm very grateful. Happy New Year to everyone. And I know this right here is it's God.
Yes.
God has done this. This is definitely God.
So I want to tell y'all about my Aunt Paula. You know, I wanted her to come on because she's just an amazing woman of God, and she's an amazing woman. And I wanted her to come on because I felt like her story was so unique and so powerful, and I feel like it could help people. This title, it's so many different titles, but one of them was called Generational Curse Breaking, you know, like just being a generational curse breaker. I believe I'm a generational curse breaker, and I believe you are a generational curse breaker. And just humility, like who you are, and I just love you so much. Like, I've known her my whole entire life, but it has come a time where, you know, for a good chunk of my life where we kind of, I would say, you know, went our separate ways, but we just, life happened, right? And I grew up, you know, and then we reconnected, I think, these last maybe year or year and a half, and it's just like we just been connected. But you're an amazing woman. Just the love that you have for your children, it's just so affectuous, and just the love that you have for people. Like, you're just definitely a class act, and you're one of a kind. And for me, it's just, I'm so blessed to know you. I'm so blessed that every Monday, y'all don't know this, but when my stepmom died, I remember, so she died that Monday night after I came back from Houston, and then on that Tuesday was the memorial. No. The memorial happened, and I remember that next day was that Wednesday after the memorial, and I was just so overwhelmed with, like, anxiety, and I was just so overwhelmed where I was, like, on the couch. I didn't want to get up. I was over it. And I remember my Aunt Paula, she called, and I was just, first I was like, I'm not answering the phone for nobody. And because I just felt the burden. It was so heavy, you know, and I felt so much separation anxiety, mm-hmm. you know. And she called me, and I was just like, first I was like, I don't know if I want to answer the phone because I just wasn't, you know, I just wasn't in the mood.
Sure.
And I said, you know what, something just was like, just answer. And when she called me, she was like, whatever you need in this season, you know, like, whatever you need, it's available. And when I tell y'all, it was just nothing but God in that moment.
Absolutely.
And it just made me realize what, yet again, God was showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you didn't have to call. You didn't know what I was going through. But because of your obedience, you blessed me in a moment where I was, you know, in a moment where I was at my lowest. You get what I mean? And
yes.
What happens when the encourager needs encouragement? You get what I mean?
Yes.
So it was just like you just being there in that moment. And I said, listen, I need prayer. You know, yes. I need you to pray. I need you to call me 8 o'clock every Monday, and I need you to pray either for me, with me, but I need prayer. And you have made it your business, you know, 8 o'clock to call me and pray with me. And I thank you for that. You get what I mean? I thank you for your obedience to God first, you honoring God first. And I thank you for, you know, your relationship with me and you honoring your relationship with me to pray for me. And still, you know, I just want to thank you so much for that, because them prayers, man, has been keeping me. So I thank you.
Well, I thank God. I thank God for you. And I thank God for God being God, because he really does want us to love each other. And he wants us to be encouragers one to another. He wants us to be vigilant. He wants us to be watchful. He wants us to be quiet sometimes so that we can hear and we can, he wants our yes. He really does. He wants us to say yes and then do it, whatever he's asking of us. So it really is an honor and a privilege. I'm very grateful. I don't take that for granted, hearing from God. And mm-hmm. I don't take you for granted, because God has placed you in my life in this way, at this season. And the thing is about seasons is that they change. So you don't never know when it'll be your time.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we just do it unto God.
Amen.
Thank God. And you're a wonderful young man. Wonderful. And like I said, I'm grateful to even have access to you. I'm grateful for your love and for your prayers and for your obedience as well.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. So I wanted to jump into some of these questions. I feel like, so I wanted to know, what does faith like, what does it look like to you?
Faith to me is believing that God is telling the truth about everything.
That's good.
Whatever I read that he has written, it's the truth. It is the absolute truth.
Oh, I love that. What does faith look? Oh, that's really, really good. All right. So how did you know, so did you always know who God was? Did you find God when you got older? Did you know him when you was a kid? Like, what was the moment that you, like, really took it serious and you were just like, I'm really going to, like, really let this thing out and I'm not going to be wishy-washy with God? Like, when was that moment, like, when you really, you know, just decided, God, I'm going to be all in for you?
Well, I grew up in church, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my relationship with my mom and watching how she just, you know, being very close to her and watching how she lived her life
mm-hmm.
was how I saw the Lord through her actions and how she was. And going to the church, going to the building every Sunday, it supported how I watched my mom live, if that makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I think it's very important. Like, it's one thing, like I said, being on the radio and, you know, all of these different things, people that's listening to me don't get a chance to actually see how I live my life, right? So mm-hmm. I think that when people listen to so many different people, anybody can get on here and fake the funk, but it's really on how you really choose to allow your light to shine. You get what I mean? So I think that relationship with God is a lifestyle. And not just not say out of my mouth. So I truly, wholeheartedly, like, really believe, like, in what you're talking about as far as your mom basically living it. And I also want to shout out to all the moms out there. Like, and let me say this about you now as a teacher. And these different terms for motherhood and fatherhood, they're talking about gentle parenting, right? But as long as and shout out to you, because as long as I know you, you've always used gentle parenting, like, you know what I mean? Listen, my mom had me young or whatever, so growing up sometimes my mom, you know, she learned the way she learned. So she only gave me what she gave me, but my mom, sometimes my mom was a little bit more, I would say, assertive, more aggressive. So sometimes our moms, our parents would be yelling and screaming, sit down, da-da-da, you know. But I would say that's all they knew. But I would say with you, the way your parenting style is, you've always, and shout out to my mom.
That's right. Shout out to her.
Love you, Mom. And and it's growth. You grow. And what I say about you, you've always been like a mom to, like, just encourage your kids and talk to your kids and never been the type of parent to, like, dog the dad out or you get what I'm saying? Like, you've always held it down. So I want to know, how was it at a point trying to raise four girls? Like, how was that?
I would say this, that because, again, God watches his word performed in our lives. It wasn't a coincidence that that Timothy Graham was my baby's father. He was a safe person for me because of the environment that I grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And so having him as my children's father was such a blessing in so many ways because he was safe.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind. He was very mature when it came to, you know, like what he wanted. Like he wanted to take care of me. He wanted to make sure that, you know, we both got our education, even though we was young, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that made it a lot easier, you know.
Yes.
It made it a lot easier because we were on one accord.
Amazing.
And I know that may sound like, oh, this is the honest to goodness truth. We dressed alike. We were one. We were. Oh, hell, when you saw Timothy, you saw Paula.
Wow. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, what was it like, because there's some women out here, teenage mothers. So, like, if there was a young girl now on the phone or listening to this radio interview, or a young woman in her 20s, have, you know, pregnant and scared and don't know what to do and don't have the support and don't know whether they should keep their baby, give it up, or just get rid of it altogether, like, what type of advice would you, one, give your younger self, and two, what type of advice would you give to that young woman?
Okay, so what advice would I give myself is you saying I'm already pregnant?
Yes, you're already pregnant.
Okay. So since I've been there, I would say this. Start writing down, like, the things that you know you want to manifest. That sounds deep, right? But you know that you want to take care of your baby. You know you want to make sure that you got to keep this baby for 9 months, so you want to stay away from places that's going to get you in trouble. You want to quiet it down so that you can hear. See, because my mother already had my ear, and she parented, I got my parenting from her. She was also very encouraging. She was very, that's the kind of love she had for me. It was very encouraging, like, Paula, don't you worry. You know, if the world turned their back on you, I'm going to be right here. Things are going to work out. Stay in the environment. Stay in a place where people are encouraging and where they can cheer you on, but still tell you the truth. You know, she told me, like, you know, don't keep having babies, Paula. But be around people that will encourage you, because you're going to already feel some type of way. You figure you're 14 years old and you're pregnant. Or when I was teen, we had three kids. I was already feeling some kind of way.
Mm.
I was already feeling ashamed and embarrassed and confused. And then by three kids, I already knew what labor was like. So I was fearful of that. I was fearful that, you know, maybe, you know, I would die giving birth. Those are the types of things, you know, that I was thinking. And yet those things drew me closer to God.
Wow.
They because they were my personal, I got a chance to see God in so many different names, You know, I got to see the Jehovah, the God that provides, and Emmanuel. I start to know those different names. I was able to call him because of where I had to go. To get the protection.
Amen. All right, Apollo, I'm just going to pause you right a second. We're going to pick up, all right? Track next,
yes.
By Mixed Master, Young Mothers and Fathers, favorite DJ legend, Brother O.
I got the ghost, so I don't need a rose, but I might push a phantom that's right off the lot. I know I'm serving the father of time, and that's whether I got on a paddock or not. The goose for the cold, and they told me to count on my blessings. I counted a lot, stashing my treasure in heaven, where it'll get better and don't gotta weather the ride.
Yeah, Katie the second, that's rapper, that's reverend. They started with Jesus, but I never left it. Think they protected, we tear down your hedges. I gave you the book, but you boys never read it. Don't need your credit, you cannot check on my dress. It's still swinging, I'm Eddie from Tekken. Come to the message, I keep it consecutive.
Look, Damian Lillard for three. If they pass it to me, I turn you to a meme. I ain't worried about demons. You think the vaccine is the mark of the beast? Need to turn off your screen and get back to the reading and back to some reason. Remember, you giving the flag your allegiance. We lack an agreement. Long as we kids of the king, we still gonna be laughing with Jesus.
No capping or scheming, I'm happily beaming. You have to believe it. I'm tapped in and we got the vision. People don't care, you keep Christ in your Christmas. If they cannot see that there's Christ in the Christian. You do the division, now give me some difference. The spirit of trolling is great. So I give them Paul, no longer the James. They run the storm, but my hands will be raised.
So I don't need a rose, but I might push a phantom that's right off the lot. I know I'm serving the father of time, and that's whether I got on a
paddock or not. Native supply for the drip and line for the whip, but I've counted a little a lot. Placing my treasure in heaven where it'll get better and
don't gotta weather the ride. Pledge my allegiance, I'm reading Ephesians. I grew with the heathens, I ran with hyenas. They told me to beat it, that led me to Jesus. He led me to freedom,
the tribe undefeated. We keep it in season, look, you gotta see it. The home of the free has got 10,000 reasons. No people for pleasing, no fault of the treason. We really believe it's why. Five on the dot, yeah. I'm going off and I don't plan to stop. KB and Dilly, yeah. High on this free with a head full of locks. I bring his will to the table, I'm never entangled. I giving you red table talk.
Yeah, KB and Dilly, we setting it off.
Wow, you guys. Listen, Brother O, amazing. Yeah. These are some songs I actually never heard before, and they're fire, too.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Brother O. Yeah. Caller one, who are you, and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Jerry Petito. I got a break, sweetie.
Hi, Jerry.
You?
Welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah. Hi, sweetheart. I want to say hello to your beautiful guest.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. This topic, when I'm done later on tonight, I'm going to listen to the whole show again, okay? Because I got to get back to work in a few minutes. But this topic, is my heart owns it. My heart owns it. You know, I've shared this, but I would love for you two to hear, especially your guests. So my mother and father came from completely different families. My father was from Italy. They all ended up coming here, hardworking, incredible, amazing, pretty honest people. And I grew up in Long Island City, New York. My mother's family, on the other hand, and I'm just going to say it, the majority of them were all criminals. We had murderers. We had rapists. We had very bad people in my mother's family. Thank God for my father. All my cousins ended up dying of drug addiction. I mean, it was endless, endless, endless. I don't believe anyone in my mother's family lived past 69 years old, including my mother.
Wow.
Okay? So
wow.
Heart disease, cancer, eating bad, not caring about anything, not taking care of themselves, hypertension up the gazoo, heart attacks, on and on and on. So I grew up in Long Island City with both families, with my surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a piece of both worlds. And the generational curse is real, but also the generational part that's healthy is also real, because I had my father's good and then my mom's bad. And what I want to say is this to everyone listening. You know, it is real, but we have the power to break that curse.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I went to my first counseling session, and everyone knows this, but you probably don't know this, but I also wrote a book on addiction. I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass, because I was a drug addict. And I changed my life through Jesus Christ at 30 years old. So
praise
I don't even
God.
Consider myself an addict anymore. So I'm saying that to say this. I made choices, serious choices. And I went to a Christian therapist who was in my church at the time, Shirley Henry Lyons. And I made the appointment, walked in, and she said to me, "Why are you here?" And I said, "Not to be my mom and her family."
Wow.
And I never stopped working on myself. So I want everyone out there to know there's hope.
Yeah.
Nothing is permanent. The curse can be broken. We all have choices. Know your worth, and please choose wisely.
Wow.
Thank you. Wow, that's good.
So good. Thank you, Jen. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Wow. Wow, wow. That's beautiful.
And keep living one day at a time.
Yeah, and you know what I realized, too, like, you know, the generational curse thing for me has just been, like I said, it's just something that I've been saying a lot lately. Like, I'm a generational curse breaker. I'm a generational curse breaker. I'm a generational curse breaker. I have to remind myself that, because there's always forces, you know, whether it's, like she said, coming from those two different worlds, you know, you are literally a combination of your mother and father. But then it seems like sometimes then you're a combination of their trauma and then their father's and mother's trauma. So you're like who you are, your makeup is so many different people that you probably never even met in your life and your whole genealogy of your family history.
Yeah.
So you might not know why you catch an attitude when somebody do this, or you might not know, like, all of who you are. You get what I mean? And I think that there's so many, and I want to get back to our questions, but there's so many ways, I feel like, to break the generational curse. But I know for me, I know that you have to go to the person that created you, which is God. You get what I mean? I feel like, for me, I was telling somebody the other day, I feel like, life is hard as it is, right? And then you take people and you throw them in the inner city. You throw them in the hood. I remember telling the lady I work with, I was just like, she was saying, "Richard, when I retire, I'm going to walk the Abolition Trail," you know, which is like 6 months, walking. I think she got to walk from, like, Maine to Atlanta or something. And I'm like, "You're not scared you're going to meet, like, a mountain lion or, you know, I mean, something crazy?" And she like, "Richard, you grew up in the inner city." And I'm like, "Oh," you know, so basically it's just like she telling me, like, without, you know, with being respectful, of course, like, "Listen, you grew up in the jungle." And I feel like living in the inner city is the jungle, you know, like I was having moments the other day where I was just having my self-reflection time. And I remember being robbed before. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
I remember coming from school, and I remember coming from Trenton High, and if I said, "Where you from, yo?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm from East Trenton." And if you said the wrong spot where you from, then you get in the beat down, or you could possibly lose your, like, anything could happen. And a lot of these things would have never happened, you know, if I didn't grow up in the inner city, because it's hoods all around the world, you know. Yeah. So I think breaking those generational curses is just, I think a person deciding, like, "Yo, I want to be better.
Absolutely.
And I want to be different. And I think that it takes a person realizing just how broken they are and just how much they need help and just how much, you know, that just how they want to do better. Because sometimes you don't always know how it's going to be or what type of step you need to take or where to start. But realizing, like, yo, I want to grow in my thinking. You get what I mean? Like, I want to do some things differently. I know, like I was telling my listeners, it started also with me deciding, like, I ain't want to drink no more. And that was hard for me because every weekend it was a turn up for me.
Sure.
But in order for me to be a generation of curse breaker, I had to separate myself from people, which was very difficult, which was very depressing because I like to be around people. You get what I'm saying?
And so, let's just say that, too. You know, all sin don't feel bad. Some sin feel good to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Some people have fun sinning. Yeah, they do. Whether it's wrong or not, some sin don't feel bad.
Right.
I worked in addiction, and people used to tell me, you know, I had a lot of fun.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, I forgot you. You definitely did work in addiction. Like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Right. Track next by the Mix Master, Young Mother and Father's favorite DJ legend, Brother O.
Was running with the set, yeah. Running with the set, yeah. We don't never flex with the script, hear me? No. What did you expect? I don't need respect, I'm the threat. Tell them I'm so free, I got no chains on me. I'm so free, I got no chains on me. Nappy hair, no shame on me. I'm so free, I got no chains on me. I'm so free, I got no chains on me. I'm so free, I got no chains. Just give up Insta snaps. Do we need another post? You insecure, you do the most.
On my side, we revive God through the Wi-Fi. T'Challa Potter never colonized, round a high five for the top God, made us dangerous. Ain't the bus flame to dust, every hater bring to us. Gangs of us trained to trust a name that's blood stained on us. Christ gained us.
I was running with the same, yeah. Running through a chain, yeah. Chains on me. I'm so free, I got no chains on me. Nappy hair, no shame on me. I'm so free, I got no chains on me. Give me.
I'm so free, I got no chains on me. My neck, no chains. No chains.
Rapper. Yeah, come get your opinion, it don't matter. Money or the faith, I chose a lot of. Ooh, I can see I'm trying to keep us on the outside.
To blow, really drug addicts with a studio. You gotta pop pills on the usual than that paradise and really cool to yo. If your world is really that plain, then why you always side trying to escape? Grand flexing, that's too fake. And the money phones, really money loans. And that real life is you coming home. Empty house in the heart of stone. Bad chick, super savage. And for a bigger bag, she moving on. Oh yeah, you making moves, but these folks don't really love you. Industry only love dudes that they can use. Don't get confused. Interviews that don't tiptoe. Go and take them my info. His glory, that's simple. Riding around with that tempo. That's liberal, that's the that's charismatic and reformed too. My wife happy and Jesus loving, ain't nothing left to conform to.
Wow, that song was fire, yo. I love jamming to like songs that actually like is really good because for me, and I'm gonna be 100, just because it's Christian music, like, that doesn't necessarily mean, like, for me that it's a vibe because it's about God, but I also like listening to the music that actually sounds good, too, so shout out to, you know, people making great music. So call it, too. Call it, too. Who are you and where are you calling from?
I'm Ricardo. This is Mo Garman calling from Philadelphia. How are you?
Hello, Philly in the building. My dad's from Philly, so I'm always going to have love for Philly.
Yes, all welcome. Right.
Thank you. I wanted to call in and support your show and let you know there is a curse also in my family. We have a generational curse of abuse. It just goes, like, from my great-grandfather all the way up to this generation of kids. And guess who the curse breaker is? It's me. I was like, I'm done with this. I'm taking care of my autistic niece. She was being abused verbally by my brother, emotionally. It was just a mess. And I'm taking care of her now. And it has shaken my family to the core because they're like the deer in headlights, like, what? You mean this isn't normal? We're not doing this anymore? You know? So, I get it.
Well, shout out to you for being a generational curse breaker because we need that because somebody got to do it. Because if not, then that means the cycle of violence, the cycle of hate, the cycle of, you know, alcoholism and drug abuse and, you get what I mean, and murder and all kind of thing runs rampant in our community and in our families. And we going to be extinct. You get what I mean? Like, the race going to be extinct because, you know, so just shout out to you and thank you so much for calling in. I wanted to know, when is your show?
Before I tell you what my show is, are you sitting down?
Yes, I'm sitting down.
I'd like to congratulate Ricardo Richard on his 10th WBNN All-Time Connection record with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship honoring our late Hall of Famer. There you go.
Wow.
My show is called Breaking the Silence with Mo Garman, and it will air next on January the 27th.
Okay, I definitely gotta check that out. Can you tell me, like, Breaking the Silence, like, what is that?
What is what?
Breaking the Silence.
Oh, Breaking the Silence. My show is about men and women healing and making healthy choices after being oppressed or abused.
Oh, I love it. Yes, I got to tune in. You got to have me a guest on your show. That sounds like up my alley. Yeah,
all my shows. That's what all my shows are about. They're always on that theme. Yes, all my shows are on the theme of healing and making healthy choices after being oppressed or abused. Yes.
I love that. So, question before you, before you go, you talked about healing, and I love it. What made you want to talk about that? Like, why is it important? Because I believe it is, and people need to hear it, but why is it important for you to do it? Talk about these issues about healing and all of those things.
Because I was a generational curse breaker, I realized how much healing my family needed, and they weren't willing to listen to me. So what I did was I got on the radio and I started talking about all the issues in my family that are going on, and we all need healing from it, and it's been resonating with them. So if they miss the show, I give them copies and I send them out to them so they can all listen.
Yeah.
So it's been very helpful.
Can I just say this before you go? Please keep doing what you're doing.
That's right.
Please keep
doing what
you're doing. Please keep doing what you're doing, because when I think about the word, right, I don't know if you're a believer, but when I think about the word, when God chose one person, you know, like whether it's Moses, David, or Abraham, he chose one person, and they were able to bless a nation of people. So sometimes being a generational curse breaker, it can be overwhelming. It can be tiring. It could be like, God, why me? Like, why somebody else? But I just wanted to tell you keep going, because it just sounds so, like, just, I don't know, like, it sounds so hopeful and it sounds so inspiring, and I just think people need it, and it's just like,
they do.
I got you. So thank God that is you and your family. So sometimes when we look around, like me, sometimes when I was growing up, I used to be like, God, ain't nobody in my family like me. Like, but God has placed you and your family for a reason for you to be the generational curse breaker.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do it in your family, who's going to do it? You get what I mean? Because everybody
yep.
else would just be operating and doing the same old things. So God had to place you and your family. So sometimes when we don't get it or we don't understand, you know, thank God that you're getting it now. Like, yo, I'm talking about healing and I'm talking about those things because not only do your family need it, but so many people that listen to your show, they need it. And hopefully the people that you're listening to your show, you know, we'll be able to produce more generational curse breakers.
That's
because
right.
we need it. Like, this world is falling apart. It's so much hate in the world. It's so much competition. Nobody wants to see nobody win. Nobody wants to love on each other. So I just commend you, and I just pray that you continue to thrive and to continue to go. And if nobody said good job, I'm patting you back on your back virtually and just say keep going.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
thank you so much, girl.
Stay free. Stay liberated. Because there's freedom in that.
Yes. Thank you for calling in. Caller 3, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hi, peace and blessings.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Brother Ricardo, and peace and blessings to your guests. This is Sister Bessie, the trooper.
Hi, Sister Bessie. I know that voice. Your voice is so unique and so different and so calming, you know, so I already know, like, when I hear your voice, it's like nobody sounds like you, so I know, like, when I hear it, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. I just want to say that I was a breaker. They called my mother the black sheep of the family. My mother couldn't read. The only thing that she could sign was an X. And I believe I broke that generational curse by me. Yes, by me being able to come out and speak to the world, as most of our host does. So I believe that I was allowed to break that generational curse.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes. So my show is concerning giving the truth, whether you like it or not.
Come on now.
And I also call myself a troublemaker because
Ooh.
I feel that I have, when I see things different from the world, I have to let the world know what I see and what is being done to us as a people around the world. So a lot of people can't deal with that, dealing with the truth, but I'm in your face with it and I'm not going to stop because that's my gift that the Most High gave me.
Okay.
I love it.
Yes.
We need to hear the truth.
So,
you know, the truth makes it free. So.
That's it.
Yes. So my show is Friday, the 6th. And thank you so much, Ricardo, for what you do. And thank you for your guests for telling her story. This
Amen.
Is a great show. And I just called in to give you my support and love.
Thank you so much for your support and your love. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
I love that we get a chance tonight, like I said, to talk about those generational curse breakers because it's so important. Paula, do you feel like where you are in your life, do you feel like you are surrounded by other generational curse breakers? Maybe it could be somebody on your job. Maybe it could be maybe another person in your family. Maybe you might have a friend. Like, do you feel like you are surrounded, engulfed by those type of people, or do sometimes you feel like you're the only generational curse breaker around you?
I believe that I believe that God strategically and intentionally lines us up, has us attached some type of way to what other people need, right? And in that, they get a chance to, I don't think at work, you know, people may not say, you know, we may not talk about people's personal business too much, but I notice when I'm, whenever I get a chance to say something, because I will share certain things about my life. So I know that God isn't having me to share it for no reason.
Right.
So they may be at work, but I do know that I attract people who don't necessarily know who they are in Christ.
Mm.
And he allows, he uses me because he does use people to help other people.
Yeah, definitely.
And I noticed that most people that I have the opportunity and that I'm blessed to be able to speak with, they usually are, they're generational curse breakers, and they don't even realize it.
Right. They have.
When I listen to them talk, I can hear it.
Mm.
And the thing about generational curse breakers is God has already purposed his will in our lives, right, in our heart. He gives us that desire to help to bring that out of somebody, right? And he gives us the desire to bring that out of them. And he also allows us, and that's what the enemy attacks, our heart, so that we won't like people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the enemy goes after. He goes after what God created us to use the most and to be the purest and the truest is our heart.
Right. Oh, I want to touch on that. As soon as we come back, Check Neck Brother, Mixed Master, your mother's and father's favorite producer, DJ Brother L.
You turn graves into gardens. You turn pain into promise. You bring beauty from ashes. Where we go, I spit by. I wanna, I wanna wait, yeah. Out of the gate, yeah. I'm on stage, yeah. I made it, second, I ain't okay. I'm on, dim man, brought me back to life. Dim man, brought me back to life. Dim man, brought me back to life. Yeah, dim man, now I'm living twice. My mama, tell him the real drop, all on the gram. I'm just a fisherman man whenever my reels drop. And then I whoop, yeah, big shot. Look at my life, remade it, the curses are gone. Now I'm giving your kids bops, and it don't stop. Dead man, gray my natural habitat. KB, I was on the corner blowing cabbage packs. Chasing the newer models every year like Cadillac. To the spirit raiding my whole tomb like Laura Croft. Yeah, I woke alive, ain't no changing my mind, no, it had to be God. Woo! Ric Flair, woo! Yeah, new nature boy, and I'm having a hard time. Cause I gotta speak it, no cover, repeat it in public, and Jesus can touch it. The healing is coming, the feeling is selling, and we never die at my funeral, but it's like, woo! Out of the gate, yeah, out of the gate, yeah. I'm on a way, yeah, out of the gate, yeah. I'm on stage, yeah. I made it, take it, I ain't okay, I'm on. Dead man, brought me back to life. Dead man, brought me back to life. Dead man, brought me back to life. Yeah, dead man, now I'm living twice. Yeah, see it, you love it, you need it, you covet it. Jesus, no frontin', there's nothing in front of him. All of my brothers said we under covenant, nobody touching us, no. Yeah, can't enough for the spirit opponent. He ripping and running, the drugs get the flushing, the fish get the flooding, the old me is dying and never recovering. Ooh, yeah, hated a second, but no second guessing. Look, this is how Lazarus sound on the record. Like you see the rescue, but that's all the records. Yeah, I'm resurrected, I know. I'm pushing P in the present, the perfect power. Picked a pack of Peter Piper peel, popping peasant, put us in his presence. Peace to the brethren, tell him that Kevin is out of the grave. Yeah, out of the day, yeah, I'm on a, I had a,
I wanna win, yeah, out of the game, yeah, I'm on stage, yeah, I made a, take it, I ain't okay, I'm a, yeah, that man brought me back to life, that man brought me back to life, that man brought me back to life, that man, now I'm living twice. Only you turn mistakes into miracles. Only you make broken stories beautiful. If anything is possible to rise again, come and make these dead bones live. 'Cause only you make prophets out of prodigals. Only you deserve the glory for it all. Nothing is too far for you to rise again, come and make these dead bones live.
Wow, you guys, so that masterpiece, the couple masterpieces, all the songs and tracks that you heard was by International Internet Radio Hall of Famer, broadcasting legend, lifetime achieving, Brother O. Listen, the list tonight has been fire. Like I said, a lot of those songs I don't think I've heard, and I need to know who some of them artists is, so I know what I could be blasting in the car. You get what I mean? But it was really, 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 really good. So shout out to you.
I'm going to get him. Auntie, that man right there is KB out of St. Petersburg, Florida. Been putting it down since 2012. And he is a Dove Award winning artist. Okay? And you know, Dove Awards is very, very hard to do in gospel music. And he achieved it. And he succeeded it. Mm-hmm. KB, y'all. K to the dizzle.
Shout out to KB, then, because that was amazing, amazing, talented. I always love to give, you know, people their props, their roses, because I know being an artist is not easy. You get what I mean? And it's not easy sharing your art with the world. So shout out to the artists that are unapologetically able to express themselves in their art and just stay committed, because you know, it's not easy, you know, so shout out to every artist out there. I wanted to ask you, we was on, you know, back on the topic, generational curse breaker. You said something about the heart, but I wanted to ask you about that. But I want to also ask you, you were saying something before about working in recovery or working with addicts or something. And yeah. I wanted to know what, because there's a lot of people out here, right, struggling with addiction. Mm-hmm. And on my shows, I like to talk about it all. I like to talk about the addiction, the alcohol, the, you know, the whatever, child, mama issues, daddy issues, you know, whatever, because all of that stuff, you know, it contributes to our childhood trauma. And I feel like, you know, because of your heart, I believe that you are light. And sometimes I believe the darkness tries to attach itself to the light. And I feel like when a person is a giver, sometimes the giver attracts the taker.
Yeah.
And I feel like, so I wanted to know, it sometimes it could be that need, you know, just wanting to help, you know, and just and people see that. You know, they it's like vouchers. They like get her or get him. You get what I'm saying? We know he different. You know, so it's just like they take advantage of the light instead of embracing the light. What, as a generational curse breaker, what made you, with the heart that you have, what made you want to work, or what? How do you, or why do you think, because we live on purpose, why do you think that God led you to work with people with addictions?
Okay, so you, when we started off the interview, you were saying that you admired the way that I loved, that it was soft and it wasn't judgmental. how I parent. That is what I added to the to treatment. When I worked in a shelter, same kind of population, homeless shelter. When I worked in addiction, substance abuse and or dependency, people need, when you're at your lowest in your life, even when you're in your highest,
mm-hmm.
you know, God said rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So what's imperative is love.
Uh-huh.
Love covers.
Yeah.
It covers a multitude of sins. Whatever the sin is, and I'm not just saying it, I'm talking about if somebody is in addiction, if they're in active addiction, do you think being sarcastic, being mean, pointing your finger, talking disrespectful, do you think that's what somebody need to hear? People don't usually, when they get to addiction, they're usually sent there. Somebody, their lives have come to, that is their bottom, whether they know it's their bottom or not. So by the time they get into treatment, they probably have a record. They probably a felon. They probably on probation. They probably had a DUI. They probably lost their children. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's the trauma on top of the trauma.
Yeah.
Because I've worked with men, women, and children.
Wow.
So what would make me? See, and another thing is I knew that God placed me there. That was an assignment. That wasn't just a job for me. It was an assignment. And when God places you and makes you lay down, because that's what he made me do, because I wanted to leave plenty of times.
Right.
But things got better once I started to set boundaries. I started to not try to be God. Because some people aren't going to live through that disease. They aren't. Some people are going to die so that others can live.
Mm. Wow, that's deep. And I just wanted to say, just, you know, because I've been around it my life. I've had family members who struggle with it. I've been around it. I have friends, relationships, all kind of stuff. And, you know, my heart just really goes out. And I just think, as you're saying it, you know, my heart really goes out to anybody battling addiction, because I don't think anybody just gets up one day and just say, oh, I want to be an addict. I want to destroy, you know, I want, you know, relationships with my family and my friends, and destroy my own life and live in a constant cycle of hate and depression and anxiety and fear and destruction. So my heart just goes out to anybody, and it just hits close to home for me, and it just makes me, in my heart, it just makes me want to have more compassion. And even right now, I feel like I'm repenting.
But don't forget the boundaries.
Yeah, of course.
Because one thing about, like you were saying too, you know, it's a lot of manipulation. And
yeah.
I, you know, I used to always tell them when I used to do groups, I would say, don't bring the streets in here. And they would be cracking. No, we're not going to bring the streets in here.
Right.
Now, we're going to be honest. We're going to be transparent. Or, you know what I'm saying? You're not
mm-hmm.
going to get nothing extra from me. You're not going to. We're going to be respectful. You know, you got to set boundaries with people, especially with addicts, because they will take advantage of you. That's part of the disease. And it is a disease, whether people believe that or not. It's a disease. That's why it's so hard. Mothers lose their children. That's a stronghold.
Yeah.
People physically, you could die from the complications of alcohol, because it goes in the bloodstream. If you take somebody off of that alcohol, you know, consumption.
It's very serious.
Right. Mm, that's deep.
So I didn't, I know that if God places me somewhere, it's an assignment. So I don't play games. I stay away from common areas where it's gossip going on. And I never participate in those types of areas, smoking areas, you know, cafeterias, all that. Nah. Just because of what God had me there for. I don't know all of it, but I know it's not for that.
Right. Shout out to anybody out there. Before we go to the next caller, shout out to anybody who's dealing with family members, you know.
Yes.
Anybody listening that's dealing with it, you know, it's help out here. You get what I mean? It's definitely help.
Husband, wife, children. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Uncles, aunts, grandparents.
Yes.
Generations. No matter the race, the color.
Right.
The,
it doesn't discriminate.
It doesn't. So, shout out to them. All right, we got a caller number 4. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Peace and Sham, God. I'm calling from Power Hill, otherwise Philadelphia.
We got another person from Philly. Shout out to Philly.
What's going on with you? First, I just want to say congratulations on your independent film, man. You don't see too many people do it from the muscle like that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate
that. For you to write it and star in it, and, you know, that's a lot. Look, I have trouble writing and producing my own music, so doing it on the screen, man, that's gangster, you know what I mean? But,
yeah.
To add on to what you guys are talking about, generational curses, I am a generational curse breaker.
I know that's right.
I mean, I feel like I'm breaking the curse right now, just because of all the things that I choose to do, chose to move away. I chose not to, you know, I chose not to hustle. I chose not to do a lot of things because I feel like, and not to downgrade the men in my family, but a lot of them are weak, and they're weak because situations made them that way. You know, when you compound your anxiety with the fear that other people put on you, that's a bad mix. But you can never get. You got to follow through. Every blessing that I ever received from God, it was never because I was doing the right thing. It was because I was obedient, you know?
Wow. Yes.
You know, if Jonah was obedient, he wouldn't have to spend that time where he spent it. You feel me? And I refuse to hustle because can't live off of bread alone, but the words that come out your mouth. So I live my life to speak truth to people, and that's why I'm glad I linked in with this show. And it's just beautiful all the way around the board.
Wow. I got a question. Where did that strength come from? Like, when did you discover that strength? Like, did something happen traumatic in your life for you to realize, like, I could do this? But, like, where did that come from? Especially if you're saying, like, it's been a history of men not being performing at their best. And now here you are, making a conscious decision that you want better. Where did that come from? Did you have a teacher that believed in you? Did you just get tired of, you know, just seeing things in your community not changing? Like,
was it a neighbor, a friend?
Mostly the community, because nobody ever believed in me, because what I do is so far to their understanding. You know, they just don't get it. So. Be like, go ahead and do your thing. But I just, you know, watching a bunch of functional alcoholics and drug addicts. I mean, just because a man gets up every day and he goes to work and he's successful, that doesn't make him a cornerstone of his family or the community, because men do more than provide. We preach, we teach, we guide. There's a lot of things that that we have to do. And I feel like a lot of men in my family, they were comfortable just going to work, providing, coming home, and then spending the rest of their life on the couch. But that did nothing for the family. It leaves it on the next generation to kind of figure things out. And I'm trying to solve a couple problems for the couple generations.
Wow.
So I'm not just going to go to work and go home. You know.
I hear legacy. You trying to hear
Yes.
I know that's right.
Yes. My grandmother had 10 kids, and... I'm listening, my brother.
Okay. No, I didn't want to stop you. You were about to say, I had a question, but I wanted you to go ahead and finish your statement. I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, no. Big family is just a lot of space in between us. That's all. But to double back to your question, where did I get the strength from? Just honestly going to church, and then when I elevated out of that, because I can't sit nowhere and just listen to somebody preach too long. And if I'm in the church and I see the same habits for too long, then that means that message isn't powerful enough. So I bounced from a different couple churches and different things, and I just started reading the Bible myself. And then I started trying to understand Hebrew, and then eventually I started dealing with the Nation of Islam, which kind of gave me my soldier demeanor. So, like, that soldier thing is in me from mm-hmm. that kind
of. Okay. Wow. Okay. I wanted to know, the last thing I wanted to know is, I feel like I need to find you on Facebook, because you know what I'm saying? Like, you said you're from Philly. I'm from Trenton. We ain't that far from each other, but it just sounds like who you are is good. And even when I do my movies and stuff and my films, sometimes I always be looking for, like, you know, to put independent artists with their music if it's about something. So my name on Facebook, if you want to look me up, is Ricardo Richard. So, you know what I mean? Like, if you ever have any music, it's like, what type of music? I wanted to ask you, like, what kind of music, like, what's in your music? What kind of, is there any messages? Is any, like, what are you talking about in your music?
Definitely a message, but honestly, I keep it gangsta. I don't have the time or the patience to really pacify, because I rap to the grown men who act like they don't understand what's going on out here, and I don't have the time to pacify them and talk to them like they're children, you know? Especially when they reach a certain age. Speaking on addiction, my cousin was a bad addict, you know? But he's the type of addict that people in the streets think is cool. See, I'm kind of old enough to remember when the heroin addicts and the coke addicts were cool. Like, you would see them in the movie and they would talk fly and dress fly, but I'm also young enough have been caught up in that kind of wave. But now there's a new wave coming through with the pills and the cough syrup, and my cousin got caught up in that. And the reason why I can't talk softly to these guys, because the way that he facilitated his habit was through strong arm robbery. And that's unacceptable, you know?
Got you.
So I talk to people like that, people that think it's okay, they just wanna pop pills and drink lean and terrorize the neighborhood. No, we don't do that, at least not on my block. Not in my neighborhood.
Okay. Wow. Very informative. So I wanted to mention our intern. He has a show tomorrow night, Shem the God, Power Hill. Shem God Power. I hope I'm saying your name right. One last thing, and then we got to go to the next caller. Can you tell me what your name means? Because I never heard this before, Shem God Power Hill. Like, what is it? Is it a meaning behind it? Is it?
Yes, Sham God is a name that I took from an older god that's inside the nation, 5% nation of gods and earths. He was actually the creator of the flag. Anyone who wears that title, Sham God, they are a creator. And there's also another Sham God who's a basketball player who created a crossover. So I took on the name when I began to create music. So my full name is Sham God Gia Law. But, you know, the Gia Law is a little too much for people sometimes, so we just leave it at Sham God, you know?
And that's your actual name, or is that something that you just came up with, like, you know, as you got older?
That's the name that was given to me after going on a dry fast for 3 days, and studying, praying, fasting, and studying. And then the older guys came to me and they told me who I was. And then from there on, I just added attributes on to my character.
Okay. Well, it was definitely very informative listening to you. And definitely God bless you, and keep going, you know, keep going.
Yeah.
And thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate you. And, ma'am, I didn't say much to you, but hello.
That's okay.
and look, check out my show.
Got tomorrow, right?
Check my show out, too. We on YouTube right now. We got 2 seasons before the movie. It's called Hurt People, Bitter and Broken. But on YouTube, it's just Bitter and Broken Web Series. So check out our season.
Hey, Sham.
I can get the link from your Facebook, correct?
Yes, everything is on there.
Can I say something to you before you leave?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I just want to tell you that my mother always told me that you get more bees with honey than you do vinegar. So sometimes a soft answer turns away wrath. And it's not to say that, you know, tone sometimes, especially if someone's yelling at you, right? And somebody's tired,
yes.
They've been in the street and they've been running, they come to treatment. And they would see me and I smile at them and say, good morning. Do you know some of them would tell me they haven't heard someone tell them good morning in years? They would come and they'd be 50 years old. And they would say, I haven't had someone to tell me good morning since I was 17.
That's crazy, but I can
come on with that. I got to come on with that. The young lady just said something. Of course, you know, it's the one and only Olasky. Last night, you know, a brother, you know, stopped me. He went, you know, whatever. And I said, I'm good. And I told the brother, you know, Happy New Year. The young man said, Sham God and our wonderful guest and Ricardo, no one all day told me Happy New Year. And I said, listen, I'm 52 years old. I'm your father. I want to let you know that you are worthy and you are worth Happy New Year. And so I want to thank Sham God for expressing his opinion. And we're going to go to the next caller in queue. Come on, Ricardo, let's get it, baby.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Ricardo, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you? Who do I have the pleasure with speaking to?
You're speaking to Terry Strength out of Philadelphia.
All the Philly ain't come from.
Right?
Shout out to Philly. I got so much family in Philly. That's why I say my dad from Philly. So many cousins in Philly, so Philly is home too. So shout out to Philly.
Yes, yes. I want to say congratulations to your Connection record. And I'm enjoying the show and your guest is outstanding. And this is a great show. It's a great topic.
Thank you.
So to answer your question, I'm trying to be a generational curse breaker. I guess that's what I talk about on my show. I feel that when we talk about trauma and people getting addicted and things like that, there's a belief that they are less than. You know, they've come out of family systems and homes that have told them, if they even had one, that have told them that they are less than. And in order to deal with that, they began to identify with the trauma and the pain versus overcoming it. And this is why we have all types of addictions, because, you know, we believe that we are disconnected from God. It's extreme anger and rage, like, why has God allowed this to happen to me? And in order for them to deal with that, it's kind of reasonable, they resort to anything that can numb that pain. And so it's a belief that needs to be addressed and changed. And those of us that may not have that issue, we have a responsibility to help everyone and for us to understand that we're all one. And, you know, so when you hear me say that, you know, I'm trying to become that, you know, part of my show is what I'm trying to do is trying to help everyone to understand how it works down there psychologically and spiritually so that we can see it. You know, we see people drinking and they're addicted to this and they're sex addicts and all types of addictions. It's extreme fear. You know, it's extreme fear. Their lives are out of control. And these are coping mechanisms that they use to deal with this stuff. This is how they are coping with it. And for a lot of people who have addiction issues, they end up carrying a lot of the shame of their families. You know, a lot of families seek shame. The family doesn't have to focus on what's really going on. They can focus on John, who's addicted to crack and acting the fool and everything.
Yeah.
They can focus on Simmons and well, he ain't got that from us. That's not us. It's a lot of that going on. So in order to be a curse breaker, it takes a lot of courage and understanding what's going on psychologically in these families to begin to address that. Because a lot of these people take the pain of the families. The real villains in the family are not addicted. They're the ones that are abusing physically or than verbally or emotionally and stuff like that, that create a lot of this stuff. You know, so part of what I try to do is try to break it down and give the mechanics of what's going on so that we can reverse engineer it by helping to create a culture to address the real villains in these families.
Wow.
And it's usually the person who's addicted. Go ahead.
I was going to say, listen, wow. That's all I can say is wow. How do we create that culture? Like, how do we do that? Because I've never heard anybody say that the true villains are the ones that's not addicted. Like, that's powerful. And I don't even know if the true villains know that they're villains. You get what I mean? Because of their trauma. So
they usually know, but as long as they have the approval of the rest of the group, they go along and do whatever they do. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I mean, isn't this what happened to the Christ? You know, I mean, when you think about Jesus the Christ, right? He didn't have problems with the prostitute. He didn't have problems with the ne'er do wells in the neighborhood. His problem was with religious folk.
Mm.
His biggest problem was with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's who he had a problem with, right? Isn't that how it goes with the Christ? He didn't have a problem with the people who were stealing and robbing. He was okay with them. His biggest pain were the religious folk, the elite. They're the ones that wanted him crucified. Just something to think about. But anyway.
Nah, that was powerful. Nah, you are a powerful man. Like, I've never heard that put that way. Like, wow. Like, wow. I'm blown away. Like, shout out to you.
You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? The elite, they're the ones that had a problem. This man is blasphemous. He's saying he's God and all this stuff. You know, see, when you really look at the story and you look at what happens down here in these families, like I said, a lot of the people who are addicted that come out of these homes, they bear the shame of the families. The problem is in the family. But this person bears the shame. This person becomes the scapegoat. And I'm saying the way we understand that and we can help address that is by moving towards healing ourselves. As we begin to really understand and heal ourselves, then we can see the movie. We can see what the movie is showing us and really begin to give that person love, because really what that person needs, as this is what your guest was talking about, they need love and acceptance.
Yeah.
They need love and acceptance.
Yeah, the love is going to look different. And also, you know, it's in addiction, it's not this or that, it's this and that, because sometimes it is generational. It has come down through the lineage. It is sometimes in their DNA. I believe that because I've worked in it for over 20 years. And if I go back, I'll say, well, did your grandmother drink? Did your great-grandmom drink? Did your father drink? Did his people drink? And most times, it has gone through generations. And the thing, too, about addiction is you know, there are different types of addictions. Some can be hid, and some people wear outwardly. So you can look at someone, and you can say, oh, he's gay, or, oh, she's a lesbian, or, oh, he smokes crack, or, oh, she is an alcoholic. But how about the people that are pedophiles? Can't always see that. And sometimes these children and adults, they grow up in those types of homes where there's abuse, and they're smart enough to know to whoop them or beat them or burn them or molest them and hide it. So
absolutely.
It's really in addition, it's not this or that, it's this and that.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And when you're dealing with that person and you go down that rabbit hole, you begin asking the right type of questions to see what really going on. You know it was probably something extreme, more than likely.
Absolutely.
You know that.
Absolutely.
But a lot of times,
yes,
they feel responsible for it. As children, we feel responsible for it. And that's when the problems come, because we felt we did something or we deserve it. And then, but then emotionally you have to deal with that. So that's the reason. So the addiction is their way of coping and numbing the pain associated with that. And again, for those who are not having, go ahead.
It's the illusion that they're dealing with it, and it's not. Because drinking and smoking weed is not coping. That's not a coping skill at all.
No, it's not. And you're right. No, it's not, right? They're not dealing with it, right? But it's not unreasonable for them to, it's not unreasonable. This is where you come in, right? Or somebody
else. Yeah,
right.
It's absolutely
unreasonable for them to feel that way, you know.
Yes.
But what happens? But what happens is they carry the shame, and that's the point I'm talking about. So those of us in the families coming out of these families, we have to go up against that culture that produces this, and some of our siblings and family. We have to challenge that culture, and that's where the real struggle is, because the second
and
you do that and try to catch all that smoke.
And I was going to say this, too. And the thing is, too, you know, I used to, my mindset was that you're not, that's not a rehabilitation when you've never had the skills. How are you redoing anything for someone who has never had this experience? Some of them have never seen a therapist.
Yeah.
They've never been in therapy. The questions that you answer, they don't even know. Like, they be looking like, what? Like, nobody ever asked me that. So it's not, for most African Americans, for instance, it's not a rehab. It's a habilitation.
Right. You know,
if
something,
that makes sense.
Yes. And listen, we're going to have to definitely, listen, January 30th, we're going to pick up with this conversation. I would love for you, you know, to call back in. Can you tell me your name and if you have a show, or just, you know, when your date is and everything, because you're very, listen, all the powerful men been calling in. A lot of people from out tonight. Like,
I love it.
Listen, y'all teaching me. You feel me? So I appreciate it. But can you tell me your name and when is your show?
Yeah, Terrence Prince of Spirituality, A New Perspective, Know Your Right Show. And it's my next show is January 17th.
Okay, listen, I would love for you to call in. I got to call in for your show. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm Paula. I want to get your final thoughts. Let the people know your Facebook. If you have Facebook or Instagram, or where they could reach you at. Anybody just wanted to say thank you or just reach out to you.
Please do. So I'm Paula, P-A-U-L-A, Jones on Facebook. I believe it might say Trenton, New Jersey. A picture of me and my mom. And then on Instagram, I'm PJONES362004.
Yes. And then cozy time, everyone.
Well, before you do that, of course, the person you heard talking to, both of you, is the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcast Dennis Ronnie for the class of 2022. The outstanding Tara Strength. And, of course, my majesty will be back on the wheels of steel. Stop playing with me.
Brother only staff living in a gon' have to gun me down. I don't thumb it down. I be giving all I got. Really living more than sentimental. Put it in the middle of an instrumental. Every jot and tittle from a brother. Pencil riddle with the scribbles of the father's riddles. Let me get a griddle. Can I cook a little with the modesty? I tell him I am not playing, boy. Jesus coming back and I am not saying, boy. You loving money ain't looking too favorable. Blood on my hands if I don't say what I say to you. Hip hop is dying and I brought the saving to her. Then it's unbreakable. You better make a move. What you gonna take, what you gonna... Switched up, I never ditched us. When they dissed us, I think it flinched up. Ask my sister, we don't give up. Ready to die for the truth that clinched us. You can't bench us, keep your weight up. And you can't bench up, while we lift up. I come around, man, avoid me business. Everybody down, when the Lord be with you, I'm at.
My song.
This is not a drill, it's a real attack.
Came from.
Lead a sign to the Zodiac. Hey, I don't need them, I just go attack. Hey, I make it epic, come in the air. Hey, we're playing with me, I go really bad. All 19, listen, they gon' have to hold me back. Hey, yeah, they gon' have to hold me back. Hold me back. Hey, they gon' have to hold me back. Hold me back, yeah. Really on guard, yeah. Really on guard, yeah.
Wow, what an awesome show tonight. And today is the second show of the year. And Ricardo Richard with his show tonight, Breaking Generational Curses. It brought WBNN with the second connection record of the year. So two in a row, last night on News Forum and now tonight with Ricardo Richard's Trenton Makes. What a wonderful way to start off the new year, WBNN. And the rest of the week will be so very awesome if every host gets an all-time connection record. So congratulations to Ricardo Richard tonight on his 10th WBNN all-time connection record with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship representing our late Darlene Lawrence. A wonderful woman. And, wow, let me say this. Generational curses is a deep subject. And so many people don't acknowledge that there are definitely generational curses within their family line. And most generational curses go back, yes, generations. I mean, back to the great-great-great-great-grandparents. And, you know, and even further, if you look at the history of things that have happened down through the family line, and I used to teach on generational curses and how to become a curse breaker. And in my family, I was a curse breaker. I broke several generational curses in my family. My brother was a curse breaker. I'm going to talk about him for just a short moment. Because in our family, the males, a lot of the males down through the history of our family were alcoholics. They were drinking. Some were on drugs. My brother was the first not to drink, not to do drugs, not to smoke cigarettes, and he's never done that. So he was a curse breaker, and I'm so proud of my little brother. And another way that so many families, and this is something that people probably like, oh, no, that's not a generational curse. But a generational curse can be anything, any habitual thing that is done throughout the history of your family. It could be eating the wrong way, wrong eating. That's a generational curse. If everybody's still eating the same ways they were eating before and still getting the same ailments that they're getting because of their eating habits. And a lot of people say, well, my mother did this, my grandmother did this, this is the way they cook, this is the way they did it, and so I'm doing the same thing. Yes, you are, but that's a curse as well. If you're still eating wrong and your family is still suffering with lots of sicknesses, it's because of the way you're eating. So break that curse and change your eating habits, everybody. Poverty is a generational curse as well. So there's so many ways that we can look at generational curses and be a curse breaker to get out of that poverty. Get out of that by doing something different than what your family did if they're still in poverty and no one has gotten out of poverty yet. You know, there are families that grew up in the projects, generation after generation after generation, and they're still in the projects. Break that curse. You don't have to remain there. So this show was awesome. And to your guest, Paula Jones, thank you so much. Awesome woman. And Ricardo, I'm just so very proud of you and your movie and all that you're doing and all that you do for WBNN. Thank you so much. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Malewa Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight? Oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malewa Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J. Saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Stay tuned for the ONE Syndicated Station Host Intern Show featuring Sam God, Power Hill. And you all heard him tonight. And, you know, he spoke very well talking about the subject of generational curses, as did Terrence Strength and all of our other hosts and callers that called in tonight. What a wonderful discussion. But tomorrow night, Sam God, Power Hill, his first intern show, right here on WBN, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. And don't forget Sunday News Forum. We're going to do a part two of where we picked up and left off yesterday. Now, back to our champion tonight with his 10th WBNN All-Time Connection Record with Ricardo Richard.
I strap on my gloves. Boy, I've been prepping since like I was 7. And thing is, I'm already covered in blood. Walking in love, this for the ones who've been stuck in the mud. Searching for hope. Trust me, I know what it feel like to drown in my problems. But God came and threw me the rope. Can't wait to look in his eyes. All of my life, I've been battling lies. I found the truth and took off my disguise. Come for my head, I still live for the prize. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I was in the city going down, trying to blow. Everything changed when I let it, go. Hopping on stage, I ain't in it for the show. Only got one life, so I gotta let him know. Talk about real. I seen a man told bad hill. I seen a woman drooling out the mouth. I seen the demons in the cast it out. I seen my brother throw his toe vape in the lake. Seen smooth heel from the dark. I seen the spirit change my own heart. Can't tell it all, but this is good start. Who got the keys to the Jeep and the Hilla? They ain't never been realer. I am not shook, I'm aligned in tiller. My face blue steel, I ain't never been stiller. Ooh, KB ain't gotta get bigger. Ooh, Southside, send killers, green light to the dark spots. Wake up, I didn't make up this song. Bread of heavens like the red and black 11s walking through the pearly gates. Bobby do the most, I'm in the Holy Ghost. I'm looking like the Pope swerving race. They gon' get the word today. I send a text back, never curse the faith. Jesus, curse is great. Slaves get freed in the words away. Ever seen a dope dealer? Cold killer, cold brother crying on the floor with us. The
but your hope hit him. Got a hole in him, now you got a hole in him. Tell him the Dead Sea hit. We the new Israel, Israel. God really lives here, watching us in here. Way more than sin, we begin here. We begin here. But the Lord is my witness, that KB is closer than blood. I got that HGA tatted right next to my heart, so you know it's gonna always be love. Don't need no contracts or labels, you know we got him a seat at my table. Hovey little bro, so I'm willing and able. I keep some riders at home in the stable. Whoa, 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 I done told it all, but I still got more. Remember when the folks got killed next door? Father told me, still pills not blow. Shorty told me, my career won't blow. Swear I don't care about the status. Why would I clout chase when God is my daddy? Take all my records, my money, my Grammys. I'm still gonna die richer than you can imagine. Jesus the king, I'm his prophet. Send me to Nineveh, I get it poppin'. They see an interview, swear I ain't with it. I say come see what I do in my city. From coolin' with Kendrick to walking through Romans with people in prison. Let me stop talking, cause man, I've been did it. Can't let my left hand on my right position. Y'all just don't have to see when I transition. I can't tell it all, man. Let's go.
Wow, I was jamming, you guys. I just wanted to... I wanted to thank my Aunt Paula for coming on. We're going to pick this up, Generational Curses, Part 2, January 30th. I love what Chinchilla was talking about, poverty. You know, maybe we could talk about the generational curses over overcoming poverty and maybe a poverty-like mindset. And, you know, I can't wait to talk about some new things and how it breaks new generational curses. Thank you so much. I really feel like God got the glory tonight. I can't wait for part two. Listen, you guys, again, I would love all my listeners, if a million of y'all, you get what I'm saying, go over on YouTube, or even just one of y'all to go over on YouTube and go check out my series, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken. I would be grateful. I want to thank you guys. Like I said, this is the first show of the year, and I'm really, really blessed to be able to get out, you know, to be able to get on here today. I just really felt full. Yeah. You know, I got a lot of love today on social media about my movie, and I'm really grateful. And then to be able to come on my show and break a record, I'm just so grateful to God that I'm able to do this. I never thought in a million years that I would be doing the things that I'm doing, and I just kind of feel like it's just still the beginning. So anybody out there, keep dreaming, like Tyler Perry said, keep dreaming if the dream got a dream for you. And don't ever give up. And, again, God is the answer. Rely on Jesus for everything. And stay connected to people that will call you higher and people that's going to pray for you and love on you and give you second, third, and fourth chances, because I needed all the chances with God. Yeah. So. I love you guys. For everybody listening, if nobody told you today, I love you from the bottom of my heart. And closing out, I'm just a young boy from East Trenton that just want to be used by God. Good night, everybody. I love you guys. Stay tuned.
Happy New Year.